Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world, and you better believe it. This is Pro Wrestling Interviews. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and we are excited tonight. We've got part of our really great crew here with us, and they're all officially co-hosts, and they're all officially incredible people. So the first one that I would like to introduce is the one and only, in my opinion, and I think in many people's opinions, the greatest lady wrestler of all time, the one and only Susan Green from Columbia, South Carolina. How are you doing tonight, Susan?
I'm doing good, Dr. John. I may not be the greatest in some people's eyes, but I will sit there and say that I've outlived and stayed longer in the ring than most females and some of the men also.
Well, I'll tell you what, my opinion rules tonight. You're the greatest lady wrestler of all time, and we're glad that you're here with us. It's always a privilege and an honor to have you talking with us. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And from area code 706, the man, the martial artist, the wrestler, and one of the coolest people that I know, Sinister. How are you doing tonight, Sinister?
Oh, I'm doing great. How's everybody?
Doing good.
We're all great. Susan's good and everybody else is good. All right, and speaking of doing good, the man that just spoke up, the one and only from our Northwest outpost in Indianapolis, Indiana, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here all. It actually hit 58 degrees today. Good grief. That
really?
Nice.
Well, that's great. I tell you what, I'm ecstatic that you're here, and we're glad to have you here with us. And from Richmond, Virginia, the one and only Steve Logan, Stellar Steve. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Just recovering from the weekend, wedding, and all this wrestling I have to catch up on.
I know. There was a lot to catch up on. I saw those pictures on Facebook of you at that wedding looking pretty dapper, my man. So glad you're here, and we're excited. I'm going to start off with a story. I don't know hardly anybody that lives around me. I live in an apartment complex, and I just come in and get on my laptop, and I just start working on my conferences and responding to emails and this and that and the other thing. And so I got out of my car today, and somebody said, "Hey, how are you?" from just across the way. I said, "Well, I'm fine," and I had to look real careful to make sure I didn't know who they were, and I didn't. And the guy said, "You know, I'm Chris, and I'm your new neighbor, and this is my wife," and I can't remember her name. I will remember it shortly. "But this is my wife, and here are two of my three kids, just the cutest little kids you ever saw." And so here's what happened. He said, "Do you ever drink a beer?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'll drink a beer with you." He said, "Come on over. Put your stuff in. Come on over and let's have a beer." Now, I'm going to tell you what. I walk into that place, and the most excited I could ever be, and I told this to Susan Green, is I walk up those stairs, I turn the corner, and on the television set is the biography, the HBO biography of Andre the Giant. And I said, "I've come to the right place." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I love wrestling more than you'll ever know." He said, "Oh, my God, this is great." And I told him I had just spoken with Susan Green a little earlier today, and he said, "Susan Green?" I said, "Yeah, she's a good friend of mine." And then I said, "And Maestro probably will be – Maestro from WCW?" And then I said, "Sinister's going to be on there too. I know that name. I've seen him." It was – you know what? The coolest thing in the world is when you don't know any of your neighbors and all of a sudden you walk into a house where they love wrestling. Todd, am I correct on that?
Oh, big fan. It's you know what? It's always nice to find someone that has common with you, regardless what it is. I'll run with that.
Oh, and even better than that, they said that their place was haunted.
Oh,
and
Lord.
I mean, what
say
more
what?
Can
now,
I say?
Now, was it haunted before you came in?
Yeah, before I came in. Todd, you're awful. But you're great. Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I have never been so happy. And you know what he said? He said, I rent every boxing pay-per-view. So I'll teach you all about boxing if you don't know it. I said, well, I don't. I said, I can teach you about wrestling. I know the greats, but you teach me about boxing. So I have got me a new friend, and it is great, nice family, nice kids. And Dr. John is a real happy camper with my new buddy and his wife and his kids over there. So I just can't say enough. I had to share that story with all the pro wrestling interviews people. It's great.
It's awesome. But I gotta ask the other co-hosts, what's the betting line and how long before he gets asked to be a babysitter?
Yeah, that's the next question.
Oh, well, let me tell you, they got a cat that likes me, which is good.
Yeah.
Cat jumped up in my face and then landed in my lap and started growling. I mean, growling because I had to start petting her, and then she was fine. So it looks like I've been adopted already. It's great. It's great. So anyway, I'm going to turn the table over, and I'm going to ask the greatest lady wrestler of all time, Susan Green, to tell us something interesting, and we'll get started with that. Okay? Susan, are you okay with that?
Sure. I guess.
If the floor is yours.
I guess my biggest deal would be the way I got started and where most people sit there and say, when they read Wikipedia, they sit there and say, well, Moolah trained me. And I sit there and say, well, that's a correction. Joe Blanchard trained me. I was actually wrestling for almost 3 years before I came out and worked under Lillian Ellisor or the Fabulous Moolah. And I said, the funny part was going to Charlotte, and I didn't know who I was supposed to wrestle, and then I go stepping out in the ring, and standing across the ring, there stood Lillian Ellison that happened to be the Fabulous Moolah. And if I didn't know that she was one and the same person.
Oh, that's awesome. Miss Susan, I got a question on that, though. You said Wiki, it starts off with you, with having Fabulous Moolah train you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fully understand, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Sinister could chime in here. Wiki can be edited by pretty much anybody, right?
Yeah.
I say we need to do some fixing.
Yeah.
Happy
I went in
you.
And did corrections, and they keep changing it back because back in the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s, if you wasn't one, as they called it, one of Moolah's girls, you didn't wrestle nationwide. You know, you could get overseas being with Mildred Burke, but you did not work in the States unless you were one of Moolah's girls.
Oh, I think we just got to make sure we fix the credits as well.
Yeah.
Nothing like going to the mountain to, you know, get the word.
Oh, yeah.
Susan, this is Dr. John. I've got an account to edit on Wikipedia, and I will go in there tonight and see if I can. Sometimes they completely change it back to the way it was, but I might be able to change that. So let me see what I can do, and I'll let you know tomorrow, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Heck yeah. Because you're our hero.
That's what
you're
we're here for.
Right
see
here.
How the team works together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We stick together.
Love it.
Man, both you and
thanks for that.
You and Undertaker's page are going to be the ones with the edits because Undertaker's page gets changed a lot, I've read. And then, John, you were talking about boxing earlier. I was just watching Raging Bull recently. It was free on YouTube. Pretty heavy movie.
Boy, now that's a great film. That is truly a great film. It is. Thanks for sharing that.
It is
all right,
play.
Sinister, what you got going on?
Nothing much. I was just looking at, well, I know last night I looked at WrestleMania and just reviewing a lot of the matches. So besides that, I was playing Chef RD all day long, preparing meal preps. Oh, nice. Yeah. But I one thing I want to say, I know the guy was in pain because it looked like he was in pain from the start, but he actually put on a good show, and I want to give big props to Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he really gave people what they asked for.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I saw a few pics from that. Sure looked like he was doing his ye olde stomp in the mud hole routine.
Yeah, when he first started, you could tell his legs his knees weren't just, you know, when what it used to be. And I guess once he got outside the ring, they kind of got warmed up, and he started getting a little bit more mobile. But yeah, I think this is last and final match, though. But
I didn't watch all of it, but I was surprised by Austin taking those floor bumps. Like when he took that suplex on the floor, I was surprised because he's got a history of neck issues, but he seemed to get through the match pretty good after those bumps.
Definitely did.
Well, Steve, I'll say this. You got a superb professional with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the man knows exactly what to do. I'll just say that.
Well,
and everybody
a good opponent, too, with Kevin Owens. I got to give him credit for leading Austin.
As long as a great wrestler has a good opponent, then Susan Green will tell you no problems will occur. Right, Susan?
Yeah, that's very true. If you both know what's going on, then you can tell the story.
Exactly.
That's right. We just love it when you tell us these things, because Susan, you have been through it all. Now, what did Ric Flair say about you? Wasn't there a time when someone said, you know, was questioning who was the senior person in wrestling, and Flair looked at you and said, "It's Susan."
Right. Yeah. One of his friends that was overseas with us sat there and started saying, "Did I know who I was talking to?" Because he was scaring the crap out of me driving up over in New Zealand, because there's no guardrails. You're looking over at the ocean, or you're looking at the side of a mountain. And I kept telling him, if he didn't slow down, I was going to kill him. And she turned around and said, "Did I know who I was talking to?" And I sat there and said, "Whoa, you better back up and figure out who you're talking to." And of course, Rick was just laughing. And I sit there.
Now, cast and crew, we may have a problem, because it looks like this thing reset to 15 minutes. So here's what I'm going to do. We're just going to keep on talking, even though you may hear the British lady, we're going to just keep on talking, and I have a feeling we'll be in great shape, okay?
Okay. But
good to go. Lovely. In case, let's do a bottom of the hour commercial break. Just saying. Get you there.
Yeah, we'll say hello to everybody on WLSC AM and FM, Loris Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Soon to be Loris Myrtle Beach Conway, and we're having a great time. Thank you, Banana Jack Murphy, and your station for keeping us on the air. Back to you, Todd.
There we go. Hey, team, let me ask. Anything, I know we touched on the Stone Cold Kevin Owens match. Anything else jump out from last night? And somebody, please tell me, when the heck did this thing become more than a one-night event?
It's been like a recent year's thing, like where it's been two nights. I think they copied New Japan because New Japan's been doing two nights with Wrestle Kingdom, mm-hmm. but it's been a recent year thing with WWE doing two nights.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
All right, some tag team stuff. Y'all know I'm a sucker for a tag team. The looks like the Usos got a win last night. Anybody
yep.
see that or comments or?
Yeah. It was actually a pretty good match. They had three good tag team matches. All one got canceled. They didn't say why. That was New Day versus whoever they was fighting. They didn't say why, but they did get canceled. But all the other tag team matches were very good.
I wish Nakamura and Boogs got the win. I know Usos are a better team, but I'm just a fan of Nakamura, so I hope they get another shot later on. But I thought it was funny
yeah.
that they came out with like Mike's Lemonade like product placement as like their gear and their entrance, like. Just so way too nose, way over the top product placement there, but it was funny. They were wearing their yellow and orange gear and entrance, but hopefully they get another shot later with Nakamura and Boogs. Boogs, like, was selling a knee injury, and he had, like, lifted two of those up and buckled, but we'll see if they still team up or not, because I think if they ever do split, I would see Nakamura turning on Boogs, but I don't know how likely that'll be because they're doing all these advertisements lately together.
Yeah.
Could be part of the work. All right. Any thoughts on Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin? There aren't any issues mentioning who won or anything. He should, since it was last night, shouldn't be a spoiler for anyone since it's all over the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all over the internet.
Okay.
But,
okay, I just want to make sure we were being courteous.
Yeah, you just say spoiler alert ahead of time, but we're good. I mean, that match, the only thing really that stood out to me was that Corbin's finisher, Drew McIntyre, kicked out of it. And after the match, Drew McIntyre had his sword and, like, he was threatening to cut Madcap Moss with it. And, like, Moss got out of the way so Drew cut the ropes. I assume they rigged it to be like that, but... It was like the two moments that stood out to me from that match was Drew King Baron's finisher, which nobody had ever done before, end of days, and then Drew cutting the ropes after, like, trying to swing at Moss with his Claymore sword.
Yeah. All right. Back to spoiler alerts. Anybody shocked that The Miz and Logan Paul were able to beat the Mysterios?
No, I wasn't really shocked. You know, I kind of, you know, I mean, they're both good tags. Well, let me take that back. I don't care for Logan Paul at all, you know. I'm sorry. You know, if you got your way into the business and you didn't go through what everybody else went through, I still can't consider him a wrestler, even though he did a decent job last night, but the match was, I wasn't surprised, but the good turn is that The Miz turned on Logan Paul. So that made it just a little more interesting.
I think he'll come back for the match with Miz with that tease there, with that turn there from Miz. But I don't care for Logan Paul either, but he's a big pop culture star lately with, you know, him and his brother doing the boxing, the celebrity boxing. And Logan had that exhibition with Floyd a while back. And he's there because he's got a lot more viewers on his YouTube than WWE Raw has weekly on USA. Like Logan Paul, his numbers on YouTube are huge, so that's why definitely he's there. I don't really care for him a whole lot, but I think he impressed people in there, and I think he's a better athlete than The Miz. He might not be a great wrestler, but he didn't embarrass himself, and I saw wrestlers like that I follow say that he's better than some of the independent wrestlers that he sees. Preston Quinn, he mentioned that. So I think he'll definitely come back again for another match. I think his gear looked great. Entrance, he was showing off his PlayStation. Not a fan, but definitely impressed.
I agree with you. He was impressive, but he do have huge numbers. But the thing that just bothers me is not with just Logan Paul, Logan Paul, Bad Bunny. It's like if you go to a Chinese restaurant, you want Chinese food, you expect to go back there in the kitchen and see Chinese people cooking. Nothing against nobody else. But if you go back there in the kitchen and you see Russian people cooking Chinese food, you just ain't gonna feel the same,
Yeah.
See? I'm going to argue a wee bit with you on that one since we talked about we've had some food conversations, Sinister. I've learned some stuff from the sources,
about to get geopolitical,
but it is still me. So I'm going to try to keep it moving for a moment just because I'm really worried about the time thing going on. Is that okay with y'all?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I think this is Dr. John. I think we're all fine and everything's good.
All right, good to go. Now I heard there was a bit of a show stealer with the women's match with Becky Lynch and the main, forgot the right name out, Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
Was that everything I've read, everything I've seen has been like, look, this was a match.
Oh, yeah. Women did a great job, very great job. They were a very good match. Even the one that I really liked, and I'm glad they let her win, was Charlotte Flair. She defeated Ronda Rousey.
Hey, stop with the spoiler, Sinister. Easy now.
I think Becky Lynch looked great, her outfit, her hair. I think she's more popular than Bianca. Like, maybe that's unpopular to say, but you can tell by those signs, like, Becky has a big fan base. I think they both had great entrances, Bianca's marching band, and Becky looked like Lady Gaga out there with that outfit, and she looked like Hayley Williams. She was like the Paramore singer with that new haircut she got, but... yeah, I think Becky and Bianca are definitely great, and I think they'll rematch again at some point. Definitely love the gear on Becky, but Bianca's won twice at WrestleMania, so good for her.
All I heard is that neither of them played around. It was extremely, like, people stayed wired through the match. And, and here's where I'm going to default to Sinister and Miss Susan. If you can have somebody wired, if you can have the audience wired through your match, that's what you're going for.
Oh, yeah. I think being able to catch them and get them involved in the match is what I look for, and today's script that the poor people are getting, they're out there to do what they're told to do, and they don't really get to pull the people in.
Right.
I mean, Todd, no disrespect to Bianca and Becky, but Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins was, I think, the match that had the crowd wired the most. With Cody's entrance, with all the rumors leading up to it, and
despite the
Rollins,
worst kept secret.
Yeah, worst kept secret for sure.
Oh man,
yeah.
they were cheering Cody before you even stepped out.
Exactly.
How long is Cody gonna last?
Here we go. And the spoiler alert: Cody got the win. Now let me ask, team, was that a surprise, Cody getting the win, or was that part of maybe? Of course, could be beginning a feud, all kinds of different things. To re-legitimize his return. Your thoughts?
I think some people can be right to be skeptical about Cody coming back and winning, but I think it's the right move. You don't want him to lose on his debut on a big stage like that, and or his return. I think the way they're going to book Cody is going to be important because he's the first big name from AEW to come to WWE. So from an optics view, you really don't want to mess up Cody because that sends a bad message to anybody that wants to come over, like MJF, people that consider going to WWE after their contract's up.
I'm just hoping that they don't end up doing to Cody like they do Brock Lesnar. You know, he just makes once in a while appearances. They do use him and then keep him. Yeah. I'm wondering if 3 months come along and he's going to be out the door.
Yeah. Well, I know that Cody's going to be working on a Dusty Rhodes documentary. So I think he'll definitely be busy. If he's not wrestling, he'll definitely be working on celebrating his dad, Dusty.
Yeah.
And that new documentary coming up.
Yeah. Now, I heard, because I heard that was a pretty solid match and the people were just wound up based from the moment of the music and stuff going on. So that's pretty awesome. Now,
there was a funny moment with Cody doing his old Stardust gimmick. He was doing the cartwheel and the hand motion. I had to get that in there because that was funny. Like him referencing Stardust, his old previous gimmick before he left WWE. But Ty, continue.
Gee, thanks. All right. Now I heard the biggest. The roughest thing about poor Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey was that they had just followed the previous woman's match and Cody's return. Man, what a tough spot to be in. But to me, that screams volume about those mid-card matches that I think a bunch of us just love the heck out of.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when some of those other matches go ahead and make some craziness and make you worry, you forget about a doggone title match, or they outdo a title match, there's something to be said. But I heard it was a good match. Again, the stuff, when I say I heard, I read. And yes, for all the listeners and all my co-hosts, I really can read. As long as it's got little words, just say it. You didn't have to agree so quick, Sinister. Do you think people were wondering if Ronda was going to come out and do the multiple punches and just boom, arm bar done and over type thing, or? Do you think it was a bit of a surprise with Charlotte Flair winning?
Well,
I was a bit shocked that they put Charlotte over.
Right.
I was hoping they would, because Charlotte's definitely paid her dues, where I don't think Rhonda has. And there's some of the interviews that Rhonda talks about wrestling and all that I said, if she'd have come up in the old school, she wouldn't made it. There's a lot of them out there that wouldn't have made it in the old school that I had to go through. And Joe Blanchard put me and Bob, a.k.a. Blackjack Mulligan, we went through, I can say we were at the gates of hell for 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. When we walked into the sportatorium there in Corpus Christi, we knew we were walking into the gates of hell. So we thought we were there anyway. I don't know too many places that, and I'll have to say that Joe Mula didn't even train her girls 8 hours a day. We'd go down there for an hour and a half, 2 hours whenever I was training for her. And then it's like, well, it's too hot out here, you know. And she wouldn't even be out in the gym. She'd just come out and say, you know, y'all come back when it cools off. But she'd come out after I had them out there for 2 or 3 weeks and see what they had, and then decide whether they were ready to go on the road or not ready to go on the road. But Mula's instructions was you teach them a lock up, a top breast lock, a step over a toe hole, and how to fall. You know, and if they knew that, she could have a match with them, or she could put them on the road with any of her girls and they could have a match. Now, if they had to work somebody else, I won't guarantee they could have a match. But with one of us, knowing those three moves, they were able to suit the promoters.
Yeah. Man, I got to tell you, I miss a lot of those old school moves. Sinister, you're a mixed match on everything. You've got the technical and the martial arts side and all that. What about some of those old school things? Do you kind of miss that? You got is that part of your repertoire?
Yeah, it's a big part of my repertoire because a lot of fans don't know, or a lot of people that don't know, a lot of the old school moves, a lot of old school wrestling, most of those was actually, you know, they was actually martial art moves, though. They was just, it was shoot fighting, it's a shoot fighting style. But a lot of the old moves, I love it because that's why I say I like, you know, I like the real wrestlers like Charlotte Flair, like Susie Green, Ronda Rousey. I'm not knocking her, but yeah. MMA background has a part in wrestling, but like Susan said, she didn't pay her dues, you know, or go through the gates of hell like she did. Yeah. So the old school wrestling plays a very, very big part, especially in the business.
I actually called a bill with a girl, and she sat there, and I said it was in the dressing room, and she said, oh, you mean a hip toss? And I thought, we'll keep it basic.
I mean,
if she thought a bill was a hip toss, it was like, I don't know that she knows a top wrist lock.
No, I gotta say something here because Natalia might be the best wrestler they have, but more people, the public knows who Ronda Rousey is, and I gotta say, Shayna Baszler, I think she's definitely a newer wrestler that could probably go through what you did, but I'm ignorant, so don't take my word for it, but I think Shayna Baszler could hang with you, and I think Ronda Rousey, she might not have paid the same dues, but she's a huge name.
She's got a huge name because of MMA, but I bet you if she walked in my ring, she wouldn't last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think any of us will dispute that, but I think what she's driving at is, you know what? That name sure ain't going to hurt the business.
No, I definitely, you know, but it's one of those things that when I have some people come out that have wrestled and have been up with WWE, Daphne come out to my place after she left WWE, and she says, I'd have never made it if I came here first. Because if you land in my ring, it's the ring that I trained in. It was Joe Blanchard's ring. It's what we tore down and set up on the spot shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Me and Bob and Blackjack. And we didn't have mats on the outside of the ring. We took the suplexes or the body slams on the concrete. That's, you know, and we took it on the ground. It didn't matter. And my ring is... I've got a lot of trainees guy-wise because I sit there and said, you know, whenever you come in my ring, I said, and I'll be walking back out from my gym, which is in my backyard. It's in a building. They call it the barn. I'll come walking out, and I'll take a flip bump or back bump in my yard. And it's like, and I get up, and it's like, you're going to teach us to do that? And I said, well, if you can do that, you can do anything in the ring, you know. But I've also wrestled in rings up in Virginia at a fair that the ground was softer than the ring because they set the spider up underneath the ring so tight that the ring didn't give at all. And Wahoo yes, and Greg Valentine sit there and said, why don't y'all fight on the outside? And said, wait till you take a bump in that ring. And they did the same thing that I did, kept the fight on the outside and kept breaking the count for 20 minutes. Because it was easier and just got in the ring to do the count.
Right.
Because there's rings out there that, and I, in Japan, well, in Tonga and Samoa, their rings absolutely horrible. You know, they are padded with palm leaves. I said, and they don't take the old ones off. I said, you hit it. And Ric Flair was there with me. And he says, why did y'all not fall? And I thought, wait till you take a bump out there and you inhale that moss or that mold that comes up from those rotten palm limbs. And of course, that was one time, and I said, probably the one and only match that I never seen him take up, that forward bump that he takes. Because he says, that mold will kill you. And I thought, you learn to have a stand-up and match.
Hey, just for the record, Miss Susan, if you get mad at me or something, give me a heads up so I know when to make sure, like, I won't tell you when I'm in the Carolinas, stuff like that. Just saying.
Well, you know, I sat there and I was with Ricky Steamboat, and whenever I shook his hand, he looked at me and I said, I know I'm a crowbar because I took his hand and shook a strong handshake, and he just looked at me, and he says, well, you know, I'd rather say that you just like to keep it snug. You know, you're strong. And I thought, well, all right, I'm strong. And I sat there and said, but I was also called a shooter and a hooker. So shoot your best shot. And I guess one of the matches, whenever I made Mula say I quit, whenever she ended up getting me upset in Dallas.
Speaking of bumping on the grass, I saw that George South did a show without a ring once, and they had to fight in the grass.
Oh yeah, there's many a time in Portland, Oregon, for the Owens that the ring didn't show up, and we had a five girl, and I said, I don't know how we did this, a five girl over the top rope without a ring. You know, but we had to figure out when one of us went over the top rope when there wasn't any rope. But I said, wrestled many a match on a gym floor because the ring didn't show up, or the school wouldn't let them set the ring up because they didn't have pads to put up under the ring post. I think the match would.
Oh, yeah, those gym floors at a high school. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, if the ring didn't show up today, I think they'd end up canceling the show. You know, and not the independents, but then in the big shows, they would just cancel them.
Right. Yeah, good grief. And it's insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity. I know we touched on this match earlier. Want to jump into it. The Stone Cold Kevin Owens match. Thoughts, crew?
I think overall it started out a little stale, but overall, it was a good match. I did see shades of the old Attitude Era Stone Cold Steve Austin. And like I said, you know, big props to Kevin Owens. I know he took most of the load, but both these guys look good. It just, I don't think that after this match, Stone Cold's not going to do anything else, because you could just tell by the way that he walks, his knees are shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, God bless him for going in and putting on the show, because he did a good job, you know.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
I got to watch the whole match, but I'm just very surprised that Austin was taking floor suplexes. You could tell his knees are, bothering him, but definitely impressed by some of the bumps he was taking. Especially with his injury history.
Yeah. And drinking beer the entire match.
Didn't he stunner Byron after? That was funny.
Yep.
I saw a clip of him stunning Byron.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But, I mean, he pulled a Sandman. The entire match, he was drinking beer, fighting, drinking beer. Drink two beers, go back to fighting. They kept it interesting.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Like saying,
so, yeah. See, all right. So I got to ask about one of tonight's matches: the RK Bro versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. All right, so they had Mark Wahlberg introducing that match. Help me out here. He's like a Cleveland guy. Born and raised,
right? I think he introduced the show.
I'm here and it's a Dallas thing, so help me out. There are plenty of Dallas names, is my point.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, all I can say with that situation, it's a WWE show. They don't care where they're at. They don't care.
Oh, my God.
You caught me sipping
a Frosty when you said that. I shot some through my nose. Thanks, Miss Susan.
my guess is that maybe he works with NBC, and they're Peacock's owned by NBC, so maybe it was an NBC thing that they got Mark Wahlberg on there.
Yeah.
All righty then. Now, you know what? You guys are going to have to tell me. Is the WWE tag team scene? Is it? This is like another tag team match, three-way tag team. Are we get back to old school where there's like some good stinking tag teams? And you could be entertained just watching the tag team scene?
RK-Bro has been really entertaining for most people. I haven't been watching the TV, but it seems like a lot of people like their chemistry. And then Alpha Academy, I think, are the best team technical wrestling-wise. And Gable... He just got a suplex by that Olympic wrestler, Gable Stevenson, I believe, after the match. And so that was a big moment for Chad. And Otis, I think, is much better teaming up with Chad. Otis reminds me of another amateur wrestler, Gary Albright. They used to wrestle in Japan. But, I think Alpha Academy is my favorite tag team, but RK-Bro are the champions right now, Matt Riddle and Orton. And then Street Profits are in that match, too.
Yep. Man, I'm digging it. You guys well aware I'm a tag team shill. Okay. talk to me about, look, Bobby Lashley, he's had, he is so close to the edge of the top. He's had the battles with some of the physical stuff and things like that. He got the win over, how do you guys say this?
I don't know.
I sure weren't getting that from the spelling. So much for my reading skills. The Bobby Lashley's been on the edge for a while of like being the man, or is that just me and my perception?
He was world champion not too long ago, but he had that injury, I think, and then he just came back from his injury. So he was the man, on the top guy, but I think him facing Omos or Omos was definitely interesting. I watched some of that earlier. That was tonight, I believe. I think he was able to suplex Omos, which is impressive. And Lashley, he used to fight in Bellator, I believe. He had a decent MMA record, from what I remember.
Yeah.
I knew he had the thing. Oh, okay, because I didn't realize he had gotten hurt after he had got the title. I didn't see how he had lost it.
Yeah, he got hurt before the Chamber match even took place, I believe, and got taken out of the Chamber pretty early.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, with Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns and different, the top-tier guys, right now, I guess Vince is trying to see who he can look at to be the flagship for the men's division, just like in the women's division. Right now, Charlotte Flair, she's the flagship for the women's division. So I think they're still trying to break down who could be the flagship in the men's division, who could be the one that stand at the top like years ago. It was hopeful.
The only one is Roman Reigns right now.
I mean, yeah, but you got Roman Reigns, you got Brock Lesnar, you got Bobby Lashley. You got a couple to choose from. I mean, I like Roman Reigns. He's good. I like it. I like the character. I like the new getup that he got. But question is, can he be the flagship for the next couple of years as far as representing the men's division?
All right. So let me ask you a question. Would the reticence be? Yes, I used a word with that many syllables. Sorry. Are they basically worried about his injury history?
Talking as far as Bobby Lashley?
Yes. How do you as a business take a vehicle that's got a history of recalls and push that as your flagship? It's hard.
Well, I think that's why Samoa Joe was.
And I hope that's not as – I hope that's less hard than I meant it. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying it's rough because, dude, he's got presence. And I'm not talking about his sheer size. He's got presence. I mean, if he grins,
right,
it says so many things. If he scowls, it says another so many things. You know, not everybody can pull that off.
Yeah.
But It's like this. All right, you take, for example, Ric Flair, no matter how many injuries he had, night after night, he carried that belt because no one else wanted to do all the traveling and wrestling night after night, going back and forth here and there.
There's that side of it.
Yeah, and I don't know if is Roman Reigns going to continue to do that, or do they want to pass it to somebody else so they can do it? Because that's a tough schedule, you know, especially
yes,
if you
sir.
Got an injury. Yeah, so
it would be tough to say that any of the wrestlers, whether it be girls or the guys, that they could do what I did back in the 60s, 70s, and wrestle. You're overseas in Japan, we wrestled 13 to 14 times in 7 days. Now,
right.
The girls, Japanese girls didn't. We would have different girls would do an afternoon show and then a night show. And the Americans, we traveled by the bullet train and got to the next town, and there'd be other girls there that we wrestled and other guys that the guys wrestled. But I don't know that there's any of the guys or girls in here in the States. I can remember leaving Columbia, South Carolina, my next stop be Mobile, Alabama, and get a shower, get right back in the car. My next stop be Tulsa, Oklahoma, get a shower, get right back in the car, and the next stop be Amarillo, Texas, and then the next stop be Phoenix, Arizona, and the next stop be Los Angeles. You know, and it was night after night after night, wrestling and traveling with just 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour or two of sleep. And I'm looking that I was the only driver at this time. I'd have three other girls in the car, and I'd be the only driver, so it'd be up to those three girls to keep me awake to be able to make the towns. And upon getting the Moolahs, and I got to hers, June the 5th was on the road, June the 13th, and by December the 31st, my 71 Torino that I got for graduation when I got to Moolahs, I got it May 31st when I graduated, got to Moolahs on June the 5th, and by December the 31st, I had put 98,000 miles on that car.
That's right.
You know,
yeah,
and that was night after night after night after night of wrestling, and the payoffs sometimes were only $25, you know. Wouldn't even make enough. I guess it was a good thing we drove all night long, and I drove all night long because if we had to stop and get a motel, we wouldn't have had enough money to get a motel and get something to eat. And we lived on potato chips or crackers and Cokes, you know, going down the road. You know, I don't know that many of the girls in today's wrestling that would live by that ordeal that we did.
Man, I hate to say it, guys. We are down to 7 minutes and change. I know you got something to say, Sinister. Jump in.
You are right, Todd.
I was just saying, I agree with Susan because, you know, the women back then and the men, you know, they was trained, like you said, 7 hours a day. Now, today's talent, they getting catered to. You know, if they break a nail, well, we're going to let you sit out so you can recuperate. They couldn't hang with them, the men and women back then. They couldn't do it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the former Marine in me is just having fits. Look, I retired as an administrator, and I suffered many a paper cut, but I never asked for a Purple Heart. All right. we're going to try to run these through quick. The Johnny Knoxville's. Sami Zayn, anything goes match. Johnny Knoxville got the win. Spoiler alert. Thoughts? Anybody know anything?
Just watched some of it earlier on mute during the show. It seemed like a lot of silliness involved, a lot of Jackass movie stunts, and a lot of the cast from the show were a lot of it was involved. I'll definitely check it out later, but couldn't watch all of it, sink it all in, but it seemed like a lot of run-ins, a lot of ha-ha, but Sami Zayn is a really good opponent for Knoxville to do that.
All right, and I think this speaks volumes about the women's division. Four women's tag teams for the Women's Tag Team Championship, Sasha and Naomi won by a pin. Yay that the women's division has had multiple matches before we put eight women into a ring.
Yep.
Yay. Just saying.
Hey, finally, Sasha got a win at Mania. She didn't have any wins at Mania for years, and now she finally gets one. So good for her.
Yeah.
All right. 4 minutes and change. Guys, I love you, but all good things must come to an end. And I have had an absolute blast. Susan.
Definitely.
Would you, ma'am, give us your parting shot here?
I'm just recuperating from my busted ankle and looking forward to being able to climb back in the ring in the near future. Keeping track on everything that's going on in the independents and watching what's going on with the major organizations.
All right. You go, girl. You got this. The Sinister.
I'm just waiting to get back in the ring myself, and I'm still training. That's all I got going on so far.
Good to go. Thank you, sir. Steven.
Yeah, just got to get more mat hours in like Finister does, and, man, just catching up on the weekend, all the shows. Definitely enjoyed seeing the clips I saw posted of GCW Bloodsport, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. A lot of catch wrestling, MMA-influenced type of wrestling. There's a lot going on besides WrestleMania, and I still got to watch Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, so lots to look forward to later on.
All right. Awesome. The before I turn it over to Dr. John, I want to make sure that we are crystal clear. My presence here is only a placeholder until Velvet returns. I want to be crystal clear. Velvet, we love you. We miss you. You got this, brother. Dr. John.
Yes, sir. I talked with him a little bit earlier tonight. He has got good high hopes, and he is working on a lot of things to try to get back. So we love and we respect the amazing Velvet. And I will say that in terms of me, most important thing in my life right now is the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, April the 16th in Clayton, Georgia. Be there. Show up. It'll be fun. I promise you it will. And so anyway, thanks a lot to everybody for being here. We want to thank the amazing Susan Green. We want to thank Sinister. We want to thank Steve Logan. We want to thank Todd. And I'm just glad to be along here for the ride. So we'll catch you guys soon. But most importantly, next Sunday night, same bat time, same bat channel. So we'll see you next week on the one and the only Pro Wrestling Interviews. Take care, everybody. Have a good week.
Okay, real quick, we will not be on the air Easter night, the 17th, just to be clear. So you can clear your schedule for Easter night.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Todd. Take care.
Yeah.